air.
Hello, Roger Stone.
Mr. Stone.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, this is Rob Zicari at the Rob Zicari Show. It is a honor to finally talk to you.
Yeah, I apologize for the fact that we had to bump you the other day.
That's all right. You're a busy man. You must have been on 50 shows last night.
I was out there. I'll be on Hannity again tonight, actually.
So first, you know, I'm biased. I'm a Trump man. I'm not supposed to say that. I guess the radio guys are supposed to be neutral, except for Mark Levin. But I'm biased. I'm pushing and squeezing for Trump, and I know you are. Tell me your thoughts. How do you feel? It's great. It's huge, right?
Yes, it is huge. I think that that he has a unique opportunity to change the entire direction of the country. I think that the American people are ready for something really radically different. And Trump's great strength is that he is not beholden to any special interest or any billionaire or any super PAC or any lobbyist. He would really be the first American president who gets elected president without owing anybody. And I think you have to have that independence to really make fundamental change. I worked in the U.S. Senate. I worked in the U.S. House. I saw the budget process up front, for example. Sure, there's hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars of wasted money in the federal budget. But every dollar that's in the budget was put there by somebody, and that somebody will fight to keep it there. Donald Trump could take an axe to federal spending, and he could not be dissuaded from doing so because of past favors or needed favors. So I really think we have a unique historic opportunity to change the direction of the country.
Well, you know, let me get your thoughts on this too. There's this debate that's constantly going on, and I'm really getting sick of it. And it's this conservatism. What's a conservatism? What's a true conservatism? Is Cruz more conservative? I laugh and I say we sound like the Democrats when they try to out progressive each other. Do you feel nationalism is the new conservatism?
Well, look, as you know, about a week ago, maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, a group of conservative leaders co-signed a letter criticizing Donald Trump. And they're absolutely right. I don't argue that Trump is a pure conservative. I argue that he's the best choice for conservatives in 2016. It's a different question. On the big picture issues of America's military strength, rebuilding the economy, having a foreign policy that actually makes sense, and securing our borders, Donald Trump is without any question the best choice. So on the top four conservative issues, Trump can actually get something done. I think the people are tired of career politicians who promise you anything within the context of an election, but then deliver nothing but rhetoric.
Yeah. I mean, but like I said, I have nothing wrong with being a nationalist, and I think to me, you know, the one thing about European politics is they're able to have more than just a two-party system. And I think I'm sorry, Raj.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Somebody distracted me.
Oh, no problem. And I you know, to me, I think having not just this pigeon toe of a conservative, Republican, a Democrat, a progressive, and actually having somebody that, like you said, has these values that conservatives, you know, latch onto and cherish, but have a different take, because really when it comes to healthcare and it comes to other things of that nature, Trump has a different take than, say, a Ted Cruz.
Well, I think they're very different. Donald Trump is a conservative pragmatist. He's interested in getting something done, like Ronald Reagan. He understands it's better to get 80% of the loaf than none of the loaf at all. Ted Cruz has reinvented himself. He started out as George W. Bush's top issue advisor. His wife was the deputy to Condoleezza Rice, the national security advisor who embroiled us in the Iraq War. Then she went over and was the deputy to the U.S. Trade Representative, specifically working on our current Chinese trade policy. And, of course, Ted Cruz, as you know, has gotten $2 million sweetheart secret loans from Wall Street. So very tough for you to convince me that he's an outsider, Harvard graduate, Princeton graduate. Wife works at Goldman Sachs, the Wall Street bank. It was bailed out with our U.S. tax dollars. You know, I think they're very different. I unfortunately think Ted Cruz is a Trojan horse, that he's not what he claims to be.
Well, I think Ted Cruz is as close to Obama as you can get. I mean, they have very similar, education backgrounds. They're very close. Obama, community organizer, Ted Cruz.
Yeah, they're globalists, and Ted Cruz's act is very carefully styled. So he gets to Washington and he alienates everybody on purpose to build this reputation as something that he's really not. His ties to the Bush family are deeply, deeply troubling, because we need another Bush like we need another Clinton.
Yes. Now, you have a new book. It's a great book, Jeb and the Bush Crime Family. I love the Clintons' war on women. Are you getting – I know Bush is, the Republicans – they love them. Are you getting any pushback when you're on Fox or you're on any of those programs because of that book?
Well, it's too early to say. The book will actually not be in bookstores until February 16th, which is next week. I have released a copy of it in electronic form to a number of reporters and journalists. You'll notice that it is not getting widely reviewed. Don't hold your breath for the New York Times review or the Washington Post review. And my friends at Fox have not raised the question with me because, frankly, I've been so busy on Fox attacking the Clintons. But I had some concern that this book would no longer be relevant or even commercially viable until last night, with Jeb finishing in a muddle but still, vying for the fourth-place position. The book is very relevant, and I decided to lay out a couple book signings in South Carolina because I think folks need to know the truth about Jeb, a guy who got a $4 million personal taxpayer-financed bailout when his daddy was vice president. Jeb is a guy who avoided prosecution on a $17 million fraudulent federal loan. He's made millions off of Obamacare. He's made millions off of Obama phone, where he has a secret piece of the federal phone contract for Obama phones, where Jeb is partners with Carlos Slim, the Mexican billionaire, and Jeb transferred that stock ownership to his son before becoming a candidate for president, so that he would not have to disclose the ownership publicly. So he's really not who you think he is. He did a number of deals as governor, for example, shifting the management of the state pension funds to Lehman Brothers, and then upon leaving the governorship takes a $1.5 million payment from Lehman Brothers, which certainly smells like play to pay to me.
Well, that's, isn't that their history, though? I mean, even going back to Prescott Bush. I mean, to me, that's something that nobody really talks about, but profiting and basically propping up the Nazi regime, I think, is pretty extreme.
Yeah, no, look, Prescott Bush is Hitler's banker. He arranges the financing of the Nazi war machine. He also gets a very lucrative deal from Hitler, in which he owns a controlling interest in a steel mill in Germany that is very profitable because they use slave labor from Auschwitz. No, I think the full story of Prescott Bush and George H.W. Bush's tenure in the CIA, some of the very strange things that happened during his vice presidency, where George H.W. Bush oversees a secret program to traffic millions of dollars worth of cocaine into the United States to be resold to raise money to illegally arm the Nicaraguan Contras. The many, many ties of the Bush family to the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan, much of which has never been reported publicly. This is all in my upcoming book, Jeb and the Bush Crime Family, which actually Amazon is now shipping. So if you bought it from Amazon today, you could have it sooner than when it's in the stores next week.
Oh, okay. All right. Jeb and the Bush Crime Family. That's Amazon. Can you get it at like all iTunes, the whole works?
Yeah, you can get it on any of the email the internet providers. And as I say, it will be in the bookstores in hardback form next on the 16th.
All right, everybody, go out and get that next week. Now, Roger, the big one that I got to tell you. I think part of Hillary Clinton's problem and her, you know, Bernie problem, I guess you could say it, has a lot to do with your book, has a lot to do with your roadmap and Donald Trump taking that roadmap and throwing it out there. Would you agree?
Well, Hillary threw the first punch. Remember, she accused Donald Trump of being a sexist. And he shot back that it was her husband who was a sexist, that he assaulted these women, and that Hillary was, at a minimum, an enabler. So I think the Clintons can cross the war on woman card out of their deck for this election. Hillary is not an advocate or supporter of women and girls. She has bullied and intimidated and threatened those women who were sexual assault or rape victims of her husband. She is the one who heads the cover up. She's the one who hires the heavy-handed private detectives to terrorize these women, to assault them, to petrify them about testifying or going public. And she has a lifetime of abusing women. And this is all detailed in my book, Clinton's War on Women. And I think it is a major vulnerability of her candidacy. The whole underpinning of her candidacy is that she would win the votes of women. And I think when rank-and-file women, particularly millennials, learn the truth about the Clintons' abuse of women, because first Bill abuses them physically, and then Hillary abuses them psychologically, I think she will continue to do poorly with younger women.
Well, it showed last night in the exit polls in New Hampshire. I mean, she lost the woman vote last night. And to your point on the millennials, you know, I have a younger girlfriend, I'm lucky, and she had no idea about the women of Bill Clinton. Sure, everybody knows Monica Lewinsky, but no one really knows Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers, Broderick. I mean, the list goes on, and it's you who've kind of flushed that out. Because, I mean, Roger, truthfully, some of that stuff I forgot about. And then as that book came out and, you know, going through it, I went, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember this. And subsequently, my girlfriend, took a look and went, wow, I didn't know this. I didn't know that. And I think that's big. It's huge. I mean, you've done a huge service to a lot of people who don't want to see the Clintons back in the White House.
Well, I think there's three major vulnerabilities. One we've talked about, Hillary's abuse of women and girls, and her role as an accessory after the fact in Bill's sex crimes. You know, I stress to you, the issue here is not marital infidelity or adultery or girlfriends or mistresses or consensual sex. The issue here is something much darker, rape and sexual assault. Bill Clinton is a Bill Cosby-style sexual predator. And if Cosby is going to be prosecuted, then Bill Clinton should be prosecuted. Why he should be treated any differently, I don't know. Actually, I find that racist.
Well, do you think it's because the media is controlled by Democrats? I call it state-run media. Is that the reason?
I don't know that it's controlled by media so much as it's controlled by people who have the same agenda, the same ideological agenda. I had a very, very prominent, very well-known feminist lawyer, you could guess, very well-known, who I met in the green room at Fox recently. And she actually told me, and I quote, "I don't really care if Bill Clinton raped anybody. He's pro-choice." Now, I just think that's sick, that you would countenance a physical abuse of a woman being overpowered and forced to have sex and give that person a pass, that perp, because they happen to be pro-choice. That is just outrageous. Yeah, I think the mainstream media doesn't want to go there. Stunning story last week by Juanita Broderick, the woman who was raped and bitten by Bill Clinton in 1978. She ultimately was tracked down and interviewed by NBC, a stunning piece of television, which you can see on YouTube. She was interviewed by Lisa Myers, who I actually know, reporter. And she writes that during the interview, when she began to talk about Hillary's role in threatening her after Bill had raped her, then a producer jumped up and yelled, "Cut!" Started waving their arms saying, "We can't go there. We don't want to talk about Hillary." It's a perfect example of how the mainstream media is in the tank for the Clintons.
Well, like I said, I believe they're in the tank for Democrats in general. I really do. I know Fox is supposed to be, you know, for Republicans, for conservatives, or whatever we're called. But I think a lot of them are really not that Republican. I really do. I don't think they're as conservative as we're supposed to believe they are.
I think you're probably right. But you have one ideological mindset. The vast majority of reporters, the vast majority of editors, the vast majority of TV producers, they're all on the left. So they share a worldview and they share an ideology, and they block out any news that is contrary to the narrative they want you to hear. So we're told that Hillary is an advocate for women and girls. It's just not the case.
Now, another thing you have in the book, and, you know, again, it's some of this stuff I forgot about, but the whole Webb Hubble and Vince Foster and the Rose Law Firm, that whole connection, I could only imagine if that was a Republican, it would have been flushed out, because there's so many things there that point to some real shady things that happened. I mean, how did Vince Foster die? How did he die? You know,
I actually don't think Vince Foster was murdered. My research indicates that he probably killed himself, but Hillary did have the body moved. She did not want his office to become a crime scene because she was concerned that federal investigators would have access to the Clintons' most sensitive personal financial records. So she ordered two of her flunkies to roll old Vince in a rug, in a carpet, and dump his body in Fort Marcy Park.
No. Oh, that's you know, okay, so he, you know, right. Okay, she didn't kill him, but I'll tell you, you know, that's pretty shady.
Yes, indeed. Rob, I apologize. I have got to move on here. One more question, if you got time.
I just, you know, it's a great book. It's really great. I appreciate you coming on the show. It was great. Let me ask you. your, I mean, we're talking about stuff now, but I was telling my audience, you are the man responsible for the 2000 recount elect. Who do you looking back, who do you hate more? Or I should say, who do you think destroyed the country more? The Clintons or the Bushes? And if you could do it over, if you could go back in a time machine and not give that election to George Bush, would you do that?
I probably would, because, of course, when I was electing Bush, I was doing my party duty. I was never really much of a Bush Republican. I'm more of a Reagan Republican. But I really didn't foresee the Iraq War and the horrific death and the bodies coming back in body bags from the Iraq War. And in retrospect, I now realize that there was no basis for us to go to war, that this was some kind of a Bush vendetta with Saddam Hussein. Has little to do with American foreign policy or the best interests of this country. So I have written that helping George W. Bush become president by ending the recount in Miami-Dade County was probably the greatest single regret of my political life.
See, there, that's kind of like your John Kerry vote before, you know, that's, all right, Roger, it was an honor to talk to you. It was an
great
honor. Thank you
many thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, it was great, and hopefully we could have you on again. It was I could talk to you for hours. I could talk to you for hours. We talk about Nixon.
All right.
It was great.
All right, let's schedule another. That'd be great. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The great Roger Stone. Go get the books, everybody. Clinton's War on Women and Jeb and the Bush Crime Family. Thank you, Roger. All right. There it is, guys. There it is. Huge. Huge. The great Roger Stone. I mean, the guy's busy. The guy took time from his busy, busy schedule to talk to us. Little old us. That was tough. That was tough to get him. The publicist hit me and goes, he's having problems with his phone. He's been doing interviews, and he's on the Hannity, and he's doing all these things. So that was nice. We got him. You heard people talking in the background. He's green. He's the guy. He's busy.